All right, Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table, and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch, or even in the third, and finds them so, blessed are these slaves. Be sure of this, that if the head of the household had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Peter said to him, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? The Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their ration at the proper time? Blessed is the slave who his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if the slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour when he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And the slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accordance with his will shall receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much shall much be required, and to whom they have entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we just thank you that you give us directions on how to be your disciple. And Father, I pray that we would recognize that we do have an obligation to serve you and to be ready for your return at all times. Father, I pray that we would be so focused upon our service that we would be ready and not compromise or get content, but would always seek to find that avenue of service that you have called us to. Bless our time here together, Father, as we study your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're still in the middle of this discussion as to the attitude and the actions of a disciple of Christ. Today's lesson centers mostly around being prepared, that we would be ready when Christ returns. We are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is not currently present in this world. However, he has promised that he is going to return, and we are to serve and to bring him glory until he returns. So, since we do not know when he's returning, we are called to always be diligent to serve and be prepared for the return of Christ. So that's what we're studying here, is being prepared, being a disciple of Christ until Christ comes again. So let's look at our text, verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give it to charity, make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now this is, first off, as we discussed last week, this is not an admonition or a directive from God for us to live in poverty and to choose poverty as our way of life, but it is an assurance, again, of God's care, that we can step out in faith in the ministry that God provides for us and meet the needs that are present among our area of ministry, and know that God has promised to provide and will provide all that we need. And so we need not be afraid that God has gladly chosen to give us his kingdom, has made multiple promises of how he will care for us and provide for us. And he also points out many times of the ministry that we have to meet the needs of others. And that's what he's talking about here. And yes, all of us have limited resources, but not to be afraid when God presents a need to us, that we would be willing to care for that need and provide for that eternal reward that is there. And that reward, remember, there's always this difference between the eternal and the temporal. Our material goods here on this earth, they can be stolen, they can wear out, they can be destroyed by elements. But those things that we do for God that provide a reward are eternal. God will see to that and see what is provided there. And so we are called to be charitable, to show love to our neighbor as we love ourselves, and to place our treasure as the Lord Jesus Christ and his eternal kingdom. And there our heart will be automatically. Where what you value most is what your treasure is. And quite frankly, there's only two avenues for that. There's material goods, going after the things of the world, and there is serving the Lord God Almighty. So those are the choices we have. Verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the doors to him when he comes and knocks. So God has called us to these two things. He's called us to serve him with our ever being, and he has called us to be ready at all times to serve and expect him at any moment to return. Now that's gets to be a little bit more difficult as time passes. We see that there appears to be no change, and so we're not as prepared as perhaps we should be in that sense. But he tells us that, verse 37, that we blessed are those slaves whom his master finds on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and serve and have them recline at the table, and they will come up and wait for them. So God has promised us to care for us and provide for us, and that there is an eternal reward at the end of our service. So unlike servants of the world that you would expect when the master returns that you would be focused on taking care of the master's need, when Christ returns, we will be cared for and our reward will be doled out, and we will have the promised rewards that God has promised for those who have faithfully served him while on this earth. So this, again, one of the promises that we have, so that we might be willing to just step forth in faith and fulfill the ministries that we have. God is watching, God is paying attention, and even if nobody else is doing it, that's what the expectations are for us as a servant of the living God. And that service is to continue even when we think things aren't panning out the way we would expect them. See what it says in verse 38, whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third watch and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. So the early church had expected the quick return of Christ, and so there was quite a bit of discouragement as time wore on, and some of the writings that we have in the New Testament actually address that type of concept, that Well, yes, Christ hasn't returned yet, but we are to be faithful and we are to serve. We are to glorify God where we're at. Here we are 2,000 years later. Christ is still not returned, but that does not mean that he is not going to return. What I always like to say in this situation is that he's 2,000 years closer to return than he was when they were expecting him to return. So there might be a little more urgency there, I would think, than even what the apostles felt at that time. But the early church continued to be faithful and to watch. And this church needs to continue to be faithful and to watch because Christ is returning. It's going to happen someday. Even if it is unclear for us the exact timing of his return, there is a promise that he is returning, and we are to be prepared for that return and keep on serving until he returns. So that's the direction that we do have. And all we are accountable for is living in the direction that we do have. You know, so, you know, we have responsibilities to take care of. We have a message to get forth, to share with others of what Christ did for us on the cross. We have a provision given to us to care for the needs of the saints and those poor around us. So all those things, that's the work that we can do. That's the work that we can continue to do until Christ returns. Verse 39. And be sure of this, that if the head of the household had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You two be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So the main message is to be ready. Now I've often thought about this. I don't know. You know, we are to understand that there are signs that point toward the return of Christ, and that there are events that will take place, although they're quite shrouded and quite difficult to understand. We can certainly be positive in the sense saying, you know, Christ is returning, and I think it's going to be soon. But we still don't know the exact hour. And we're still called just to be ready and to do what we can do. I think part of this is exactly what would be normal for human beings. If we knew the hour and the day, well, we could slack off until just before that, and then we could earn our brownie points and make it out. But that's not the way it works with God. We're either all in with God or we're not in at all. That's all there is to it. So our goal should be to serve. Our goal should be to glorify God as we move forward and as we live our lives in service to him. So be ready. That's the major thing. And he says here that he is coming in an hour that we don't expect. So elsewhere, Jesus talks about the return like in Noah's day. In Noah's day, Noah was spending a lot of time proclaiming the good news. I don't know if it's good news or not. Proclaiming the news that God was going to destroy the earth, and you need to be prepared for that. That's why he was building an ark, and that's why they were making fun of him for building the ark, because that just didn't seem very likely. And so they went about their business, eating, drinking, having marriages, doing all the stuff that they had been doing for quite a bit of time. Noah continued to build his ark for about 120 years, something like that. And that would seem to the local people as foolish. Noah, here you've been saying there's going to be this big flood. Here we are 100 years later, nothing's going on. And so they were just continuing in their rebellion against God until God closed the ark and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And all the rest of that stuff that goes with that. And they all drowned. So we are going to be exactly like that. Jesus said it's just going to be business as usual. People are going to be eating and drinking and marrying and carrying on, and then suddenly he will return. Now, one thing about it, there are some that talk about a secret return or those types of things. The Bible is pretty clear that when when Christ returns, it's going to be very apparent. So don't worry about the fact that if somebody says you missed it, you didn't miss it. You're not going to miss it. Nobody's going to miss it. When Christ returns, we'll know it. So just be prepared for that return. All right, verse 41. Peter said, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well?" Jesus said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible servant when his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time?" So the fact of the matter is, the definition of being a faithful steward or a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is that you would be found doing what the master has instructed you to do, and that is serving. So that's just the definition that he's given there. If you're a servant, if you've been charged with a responsibility and a ministry, you're faithful and sensible when you're found doing it, when the master returns. Okay, so we have been charged with a certain ministry. We've been given direction on how we are to live and act and what we are to do as the church. Let's be doing that so that when Christ comes again, we will be found faithful in doing what we're supposed to do. Okay, verse 45. "But if the slave says in his heart, 'My master will be a long time in coming,' and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers." So on the flip side, are individuals that essentially really do not believe what the master said was going to happen. And therefore, they don't expect the return of Christ. And so they keep putting off commitment and service. They keep putting off an idea of trusting Christ and living for him because they're secure in the knowledge that history proves that nothing's going to happen and they're not going to get caught. Is that not a common thing? There are religions that have that call themselves Christian religions that are formed around kind of that concept as, well, we're just working toward some grand kingdom of God. But Christ has said he is going to return, and there is a responsibility for us to be prepared and to fulfill our ministry, because if we become complacent and we ignore the fact that his return is without warning, then we're going to get caught. And he says he assigns these places with the unbelievers. So especially talking about leadership and religious leaders and people who truly are not trusting in Christ, but are trusting in their own goodness and their own selves to be delivered. But they basically are living for themselves and have their own selves in mind, and they will be caught in their state of unbelief. Verse 47. "The slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accordance with his will shall receive many lashes." So the clue to interpreting verse 47 and 48 come from verse 46, where it says that he assigns them a place with the unbelievers. There are religious people and ministers that truly do not have saving faith. They perhaps have seen their religious activity as an insurance policy. And the fact of the matter is, that's not a real thing at all. We are either in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as his servant, having trusted him, or we are not in his family, and we are headed for eternal damnation if things don't change. But the fact of the matter is that there's a whole lot of people that have went to church and have done their own thing, and there's going to be a heavier price for them to pay. And I don't want to get into the concept of greater reward and lesser punishment, but that is a real thing. I don't understand it, but I know that it's true. But for those of us who have heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and his provision for salvation, but have not trusted in Jesus Christ, there's a heavier price to pay because of the better knowledge of that. The one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but a few, but from everyone who's been given much shall much be required, and to the, whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. So these, historically we could say in our country we've had more religious freedom than in an awful lot of places in the world. The message has been broadcast better than in a lot of places in the world. There's a bigger price that's going to be paid in our society, in our world, because the people have not been ignorant of what the Word says, but have chosen to not believe and have followed after their own plan. And let me encourage you or warn you, however you want to think of that, an act of religion does not fool God. God is fully aware of the hearts of man. He knows where you stand. He knows those who are his and those who are just pretending to be his. And that those who have not put their entire trust in Jesus, they are remaining in their sin, and they will face eternal damnation if there's not a change in that situation. So I would encourage you and warn you not to tarry long over the decision of whether or not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's a very short window of opportunity that you have. I realize it's been 2,000 years since Jesus ascended to heaven. It doesn't seem like anything has been happening or going on, but the fact of the matter is that the day is coming of the Lord. And we know that he is going to return. We just don't know when he's going to return. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Church, our message and our lesson from this passage is that we are the people of God. Our task is to serve God's purpose until the return of Christ. It doesn't have an age limit that I can tell. It just has a limit of whether you're alive or not. Therefore, we are to be diligent to serve in the ministry which God has called us and to glorify God in the way that we live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study from your word again. And I pray, Father, we would not neglect so great a salvation, that we would realize our mission of sharing the gospel and taking care of the needs of people, that you might be lifted up in the sight of the people, that we might serve and be prepared. And I thank you, Father, that you are returning, that we can expect marvelous things and great reward when you return. But also, Father, I know that that is the day of judgment, and that's the end for those that have not trusted. And I pray yet those who have tarried will think about their condition and the path that they're on, and choose to trust in Christ today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.